Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
1 month ago, tomorrow, Norway changed and would never be the same after the Oslo bomb attack and the Utøya Island massacre of Anders Breivik. 69 people died. And 1 month on, it appears Norway has undergone tangible, profound changes. When you might think that a nation in such shock and grief might retreat into itself, the Prime Minister there, Jens Stoltenberg, says the nation's response to the terror will be more openness and more democracy. Now, an Australian who's been living and working in Norway these past 14 years has written a thoughtful piece about a transformation in everyday Norwegian life. I think it demonstrates powerfully how, notwithstanding the evil in our world, and who in Norway could deny it, we are deeply wired by God for love, empathy and compassion. Let's take you to Norway now. We're joined by Matthew Smith, who wrote this article. Matthew, welcome to Open House.
Thank you very much.
It's lovely for you to join us. Thank you so much. Matthew, take us through what it's been like living there, observing these events and their aftermath over this past month.
Well, it's been surrealistic, really, the last month or so. When people usually ask me what it's like living in Norway, I use words like safe and relaxed and quiet, and nothing much usually happens. But the last month has been quite the opposite. I think initially there was sort of a stunned silence in the country after the attacks. Oslo was like a ghost town the first couple of days. But after that initial shock, really, There was a sort of a rush to reclaim the city. People flowed into the city in enormous numbers, really, to lay down flowers. There's been a number of rallies attracting 150,000 people, and a number of speeches and music, and just a real effort by the Norwegian people to take back their city and their country.
Yes. Before I go on to explore with you these profound changes you've noticed, can I ask you to give us a sketch of kind of the character or the characteristics of Norway and its people as a country? What are they like?
As a country?
Yeah.
Right. Norway, you can't describe Norway without saying it's affluent, I think.
Yes.
It's a large oil producer and exporter. And quite a small country up in the north of Europe here, so it's an affluent country. It's a comfortable place to live, but also very strongly socially democratic and egalitarian. There's a very, very small gap between the rich and the poor, in comparison with other countries like England, for example, and America. It's a relaxed, friendly, out of the way sort of place.
And reserved, quite reserved.
And reserved. And, people describe Norwegian people as friendly, and generally they are, but they are very reserved, very understated. They're not really used to sort of surface politeness, for example. if you ask a Norwegian how they are, they sort of shift uncomfortably from foot to foot and don't really know what to say, because they think you're really asking them how they are.
You want to know?
Yes. Do you really want to know?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're a relaxed and reserved sort of people.
Okay.
But that's changed quite a bit last month, I think.
Yeah, so on the back of that, they've really been quite confronted with almost a kind of identity crisis, that out of a modern,
absolutely,
ordered, prosperous, reserved nation emerges this evil.
Mm. Yeah, and evil is not a concept that's actually discussed very much in this country, really, which is interesting. But I think Norwegians have been forced to confront evil and forced to recognise it, and really forced to force into a demonstration as a people that this is not who we are. The Norwegian people have really, as a whole, I think, have displayed a collective empathy and a collective sort of outpouring of grief, which says we are a people who take care of each other, and I think that's come really very clearly.
And quite a shock that this man has come not from the fringes or the underbelly of Norwegian life, but from the upper middle class.
Exactly, and his father was someone who worked in public departments. His mother was a nurse. They lived in a comfortable sort of comfortable middle class suburb. He was not a man who has any criminal record of any sort. it's really unexplainable.
Yes. So how have you observed this range of quite really interesting ways in which the society there, the community, has been impacted and how it's changed?
Well, it's like the Prime Minister said in the day after the attacks, the nation's response will be more openness and more democracy. And, of course, you think, you know, OK, that's maybe what he wishes will happen, but it actually has happened. People reported being hugged, being comforted by strangers. All of the funerals that have been going on, and there's quite a few funerals when there's 77 people total who have died, have been attended by either the Prime Minister himself or by members of the royal family, or by senior government ministers. The sea of flowers in Oslo centre, the Oslo Cathedral, which has been like a centre for the outpouring of grief. People really wanted to demonstrate and just to show their compassion for the victims.
I wonder whether these changes will be long term or whether it's a short term thing as the nation kind of recovers from and processes.
I mean, it will be interesting to see. We have a local election coming up next month. It's on a national basis, but it's for the local parliaments and the like. So it'll be interesting to see how that election campaign is conducted, and it will be interesting to see if there actually is a larger turnout, whether people will continue to show the compassion and the willingness to really try and make a difference themselves.
Yes.
They've shown so far.
You write that you've noticed one thing in particular, and that is a sense of resolve, which is interesting.
Yes. Absolutely. The resolve to defend ourselves, not through any return violence or not through any wish to punish this man, that really hasn't been the focus of people. People want to really, first and foremost, show their compassion, first and foremost, show their resolve that this is not how Norway will be defined.
Yes. Have you noticed ways in which people have embraced faith or found refuge in faith in how they've dealt with the events of this last month?
Absolutely. I mean, The Norwegian cathedral is in the center of town, and this is where you've seen the pictures of the sea of flowers being laid down. Now, this is not anything that's been organized by anyone. I mean, the Norwegian cathedral was right from day one a sort of a center point for the outpouring of grief. People just started laying down flowers there and kept doing it, and the cathedral's been open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and there's been, I mean, literally long lines of people, hundreds of metres of people throughout the day trying to get into the cathedral to light candles, to pray, and to really draw strength from their faith.
Yes. Matthew Smith, it's a very thoughtful piece. Thank you very much indeed for joining us on Open House. Very grateful.
Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.